While the majority of Islamic organizations have worked within the system, a minority of radical extremists have insisted that violence and armed revolution was the only way and is the only way to liberate their societies. The most recent example, bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. By the late 1980s and early 1990s, it was clear that Islamists had moved from the periphery to mainstream politics and society. They were not just extremists, but indeed that a quiet, nonviolent revolution had institutionalized Islamic revivalism and activism in mainstream society. Islamically inspired social and political activism produced schools, clinics, hospitals, daycare, legal aid, youth centers, private as opposed to government-controlled mosques, and financial institutions such as Islamic banks and insurance companies. Islamic candidates and parties participated in local and national electoral politics and assumed positions of leadership in professional associations of doctors, lawyers, engineers, journalists, and trade unions. A new alternative elite emerged in every sector of society, modern educated but Islamically rather than secularly oriented. The quiet revolution could be seen clearly across the Muslim world. Perhaps nowhere was the impact of the Islamic revival experienced more visibly than in electoral politics and civil society. By the late 1980s and early 1990s, it was increasingly clear that this quiet revolution had occurred in many societies. Islamic revivalism through social and political activism had become institutionalized in the mainstream, not just on the periphery. From Egypt to Indonesia, Islam played a more visible and important role in socioeconomic and political life. Islamically inspired social and political activism produced, yes, the schools and clinics and hospitals, and the mosques and financial institutions, but it also would produce a wave of activists who would participate in elections and in effect would come to power. And I think that becomes very important. This becomes a kind of critical transition point because that new alternative elite, and let me underscore, the old elite, and it's an elite that continues in so many societies and often is dominant, is a more secular, modern educated elite. But the new alternative elite is modern educated but more Islamically oriented. They now are, in a sense, a counter elite to be found among doctors, engineers, and lawyers, and business people, university professors, military officers. They're in the mainstream, but they are a threat, if you will, to the establishment, to the secular elite, because they are an alternative, and to many governments. Perhaps nowhere was this experienced more than in political elections. The majority of governments, secular and religious in the Muslim world, have been authoritarian, a legacy of pre-modern Muslim history, as well as European colonial rule. And post-independence governments that have not fostered the growth of participation or democratic governments and institutions and values, but have been concerned with clinging to power, these security states. Despite this fact, during the late 1980s, in response to food riots, economic breakdown, protest and mass demonstrations over the economic failures of governments, elections were held in a number of countries, Jordan, Tunisia, Algeria, Egypt. Islamic organizations such as the Muslim Brotherhood of Jordan and Egypt, Tunisia's Nahda or Renaissance Party, and Algeria's Islamic Salvation Front, the FIS, participated. They stunned many. They emerged as the major political opposition. And indeed, in Algeria, the Islamic Salvation Front swept not only municipal, but later parliamentary elections, and thus was poised to come to power through the electoral process, through ballots, not bullets. Power was being taken through ballots, not bullets. However, the specter of Islamists coming to power triggered a backlash. The Algerian military intervened, canceled the election victory of the Islamic Salvation Front, imprisoned and outlawed the FIS, and installed a new government. This set in motion a spiral of violence and counter-violence that polarized Algerian society and produced a civil war costing more than 100,000 lives. By the mid-1990s, Islamic activists could be found in the cabinets and parliaments of many countries and the leadership of professional organizations. In Turkey, the most secular of Muslim states, the Islamist Welfare Party swept mayoral elections and in 1995 elected its first Islamist prime minister, Dr. Erbakan. The Turkish military claiming to save Turkish secularism.